Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
All right, it's officially tax season. I believe we have now entered the period in which you can file your taxes. I know there was a couple-day delay on where they originally had planned. I don't know why I'm hypothesizing so much. We have an expert on the line, tax attorney Stephen Leahy. You hear him often here on the Business Lunch or on Home Sweet Home Chicago when I fill in for Hochberg. I've talked to Stephen, too. Stephen, how you doing, my friend?
I'm great, John. How about yourself, sir?
Doing good. So we are in good. Tax season officially, yeah?
Last Friday began. It started.
Well, you know, normally I do it on the first day. I've had a few documents kind of trickling in a little bit later. I know everyone does things a little bit differently. We do some trading in the household, not all that much of it, but I had to wait for my my online document to come. But I'm raring to go. And, you know, Stephen, the biggest question I have is, boy, there's a lot of differences when people work from home versus when they work in the office, just generally speaking. But people should look into, you don't have to go through every deduction or what you have. I know you have people that do that, but there's things to look into when you work from home, aren't there?
Well, there is, but here's the thing. When they changed the law a couple of years ago, they kind of took away that home deduction if you were a W-2 employee. So you can't really deduct anything any longer because that used to be on Schedule A. I don't want to get too far into this, right? Mm-hmm. They took a lot of those deductions away, and because they increased the blanket, right? So they have the exemption that they allow everybody, and they increased that, but they took away these other deductions that you used to be able to take. So you can't take those anymore.
Well, that's a bummer. What about a 1099 employee, though? If you don't know the specifics, that's fine, but I imagine there's still some recourse for some of those folks.
No.
None?
Not 1099, you're in business for yourself. So yes, you can deduct all that. You're working from home, you can deduct that. And just like any, but you don't have... just like any other expense that you have as a employee or as a business owner. Now, generally, that's whom I'm helping. I'm helping business professionals, people who are running their own business, because they're the ones that have tax problems, right? Most of us with W-2 employees, right, you pay the IRS every time you get paid, right? They take the money.
Right.
So when you're in business for yourself, this is where there's problems get. Arise.
Well, I'm glad we have you because I think a lot of people, maybe they were put in the position in the middle of last year where they lost their job. They decided to tackle a passion project or something along those lines, trying to make a little bit of money. If they're just starting to pay attention to the tax ramifications now, are they in a little trouble? Because aren't some people supposed to do some quarterly things? Walk us through what someone at home who maybe for the first time ever has been opening up their own business needs to look out for as they get ready here for tax season.
Well, I think it's a great time to talk about this because who pays the most in taxes in our society? Small business people, sole proprietors, because they're paying the self-employment tax and the income tax. And so, so if you're in business for yourself, you should talk to somebody who knows about business entities, starting a corporation, starting an LLC, because there's a lot of tax benefits to that. I know people say, well, I'm not big enough for that. But really, you are big enough. If you're running your own business and you're paying taxes, and you are, right, then you should look into trying to minimize your tax obligations. And the one way to do that is to start some sort of entity. So that if you're beginning your business now, that's what you should talk about. That's what you should think about.
I find it hard enough to do taxes, and yeah, I use one of those websites because it's easy. It's W-2, and it navigates you through. But even that can be difficult for me. What are some common pitfalls you've seen people do when they try and go it alone?
Well, the thing is if you're a W-2 employee, you probably can do it alone. And as you mentioned, there's lots of websites now that you can do it for free if you're making under a certain amount of money. I forget what it is this year. Last year it was like $45,000 or $50,000. If you made less than that, then it's free. And you can go to a whole host of sites that provide free tax returns. If you go to IRS.gov and put it in the search engine, you'll see it. They have a page full of participating vendors who will do your tax return for free. Now, sometimes they will charge for a state income tax, but they'll do your federal income tax for free. So if you're a W-2 employee, then you really don't need anybody else to help you. But it's when you start getting into schedules and trying to make deductions, this one you should always have help. If nothing else, then to insulate yourself from the IRS. Because if you're doing your own tax returns and you're taking these deductions, You're opening yourself up to audits. Nobody wants an audit.
Yeah, for sure. What are some things to look out for? I know COVID has changed so many things, and small business owners, of course, are there too. Are there any differences this year compared to other years, or is it still pretty much the same, just, you know, it's just been a weird year otherwise?
Well, it's pretty much the same. They haven't changed the tax code very much from the last time they did it, and there was a lot of changes for last year, but not so much this year. The big change, as you pointed out, is a lot of people are going to be getting unemployment compensation, and they never did that before. And many times, unemployment compensation is not taxed; they're not taking taxes out. So you're going to have to file. You're going to probably owe taxes on your unemployment compensation. So that's a big thing, I think, that people don't realize when they start. If you've never taken unemployment compensation before, and now you are, you're going to be surprised that you may owe the IRS some money.
What about, I know that everyone's been confused about the stimulus, about whether that's was more of an advance or was it, you know, just a free cash thing? Is that going income? Do you have any idea about the stimulus stuff, about complicating that?
You know, I think some of the stimulus is taxable and some of it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So this ties in with the PPP program. You know, the PPP program, when they just did this new the new program that just started last month, they changed the rules for the last one. So, for instance, the last one, you could not deduct any expenses that you used the PPP money for, and that was for expenses like your employees' compensation or your rent. But if you use that loan money on that, they wouldn't allow you to deduct it. But now they are, and that's a huge difference. Because that's not only do you get the loan, but now you get the deductions too. So it's a double plus for you on the PPP program.
Yeah, boy, anyone that gets got some of that PPP, first of all, good for you, especially if you're able to get both rounds of it. I know it was very tough for some people, but boy, that's something you really don't want to mess around with. Trying to navigate that world by yourself.
Well, I have to agree with you, and again, because it's a government agency, and there's a lot of regulations to get it forgiven, you should really take care in following all the rules very carefully, and that's where professionals come in.
Okay, so here's something I do when I do my taxes that a lot of people tell me I shouldn't, is the moment that I have filed, I pay it. I want it out of my account. It's usually done this first or second weekend of February. I'll probably do it sometime this week, because I just out of sight, out of mind, I want it done with. A lot of people are like, mm-hmm. Do not pay the government until you absolutely had to. I know some people that took those extra 3 months, even if they didn't need it, just because why not let your money grow elsewhere? I imagine that for people that have way more money than I do, or businesses, is there any benefit to paying it early, or you might as well just set the date for April 15th?
The benefit is what you just said. It's the peace of mind, but there is no other benefit, and you can set the payment date for April 15th, and so you can kind of be done with it and set it and forget it, and they'll take it out on April 15th, and so then you get both worlds, right? You get the peace of mind that it's going to be taken care of, and you're not paying more than you should. That's really just time value of money, right? I'm paying it 3 months before it's due, so I could be collecting interest. Now, if it's in my checking account, I'm not really getting any interest anyway, so there's not really a big benefit for me to keep it in my account.
If there's someone out there, especially like a small business owner or someone on their own, who maybe has, I don't want to say fudged the numbers over the past few years, maybe they forgot to do something and they know it, and it's weighing on. I mean, that sort of stuff would keep me up at night. And I know business owners have had enough that keep them up at night over the last year. Mm-hmm. I imagine that of all years, this is not the year to skirt it anymore, and that your folks, you can help people out, make sure that they get on the straight and narrow with this stuff.
That's exactly right. And that's who we generally help. And I had a lot of calls, people from, I think I made a mistake. Last year or the year before. Sometimes people call me and say, I made a mistake 10 years ago. Should I do something about it? And the answer generally is no. Let sleeping dogs lie.
Okay.
Because that's beyond the time that the IRS will even take a look at it.
Okay.
So you're not at risk. But generally you have 3 years where the IRS can audit you. And so if you know that within the last 3 years you've made a mistake, you can go back and you can amend your tax returns. And there's no criminal penalty or anything like that. But sometimes, and again, the IRS generally doesn't go after people criminally, for tax evasion. but obviously they do sometimes.
Right.
And that's what keeps people up at night.
I can just imagine some people, you know, if they are in the red for the year or something like that, they might think, well, this is the year I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to try and win this year, quote unquote. That could be a dangerous trepidation to go down.
Now, I'm going to mention this. The IRS has already announced that they're going to increase small business audits by 50%.
Wait, really?
Yes. They've already announced that.
For this, so if you, of all years, yes, they're doing it this year.
Exactly. Exactly. But that, you know, that, I think that what you're saying, right, is like, hey, this year, I've never cheated before, but I'm going to try to skirt the laws. Now's not the time to do that because they're going to be looking. And maybe that's why, because what you just said, maybe that's why they're saying, we're going to keep looking. They've already announced it, and so be very careful. And, you know, you're better off to have somebody, a third party, do your tax return because that insulates you from an audit. Now, it doesn't mean that you're never going to get audited, but if you have a tax professional who's going to sign off on your tax returns, that's a layer of protection from the IRS, because the IRS looks at it like, well, hey, they're not going to risk their license for this guy. Right. So they've already looked at it. They've had a professional look at it, and it's done right.
Stephen, this is the last question here, and you don't have an answer for it. You may not have an answer for it. I don't get, as an individual, why the government takes X amount of money out of my taxes all the time. And then at the end of the year, the beginning of the next year, I'm supposed to plug in a bunch of numbers to guess what I was supposed to owe them. And then if I get it wrong, they just say, no, you got it wrong. Why don't they just tell me exactly what I owe them? And we're cutting out a huge step here, Stephen.
You're trying to cut out my business.
No, I'm not. Like, what are we doing? Like, just tell me. If the feds are going to tell me I'm wrong, then they should just tell me that from the beginning.
I agree. And, you know, the IRS is so far behind everything. So that's why people get scammed a lot with the IRS, because they don't catch it for a year or 2 years after the scam is already out there. And so but I agree with you that, you know, it would be easier if the IRS would just say, hey, this is what you got to pay us.
Yes.
But the tax code is so complicated, and they complicate it more and more, that it's hard to say what people owe, because, you know, either I get this deduction or I get that exemption or I get, you know, so there's just too many variables,
right,
for them to tell you that.
Yeah, but they know when I'm wrong, so they should have just started there. Last question. We had one text I want to get in. I know we got to get to the break here. How long should you keep your tax returns? Forever, right?
Well, they say, they can only go back. The IRS only goes back generally 6 years that they can go back and look at your tax returns. So I think 6-7 years is a safe amount. Forever, that's what I do. Right.
Right. I mean, it's not that much space. It's like, yeah, let's say I live for 40 more years. That's 40 pages. I have books I haven't read that sit on my shelf. I have like 300 page books for no reason. I can save 40 more pages of tax documents.
You don't even have to do that, because it's a PDF now. Everything's done electronically.
That's true.
So you just put it in your directory, get a Dropbox. It'll be there forever.
That's right. All right, Stephen Leahy, thank you so much for joining us. Open Tax Advocate, ChicagoTaxTeam.com. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks, John.
All right, quick break, and then more on WGN.